from the Mercy One Studio. Welcome, folks, to The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher. Every week, diving deep into the truth of Catholic social teaching and restoring all things in Christ.
The Uncommon Good is on the air. I'm Bo Bonner.
I'm Dr. Bud Maher.
We are coming to you live from these United States of America. I'm over here in Des Moines, Iowa, where I'm the Director of Mission and Ministry at Mercy College of Health Sciences. Bud, for the time being, out in Omaha, but Bud soon will be back united with us in Des Moines. Bud, what are you going to be up to here when you're back in the loving arms of Iowa?
Yeah, all my possessions are already in Des Moines, Bo, so you guys have to take me. There's no reneging on the deal at this point. But I'll be the academic. Well, I am the academic dean at Mercy College of Health Sciences. So excited to be back at Mercy College.
Yeah, you are the academic dean. You will be living in a neighborhood. It's like you said, you're getting to use all that wonderful free family labor, which is not free because you put in a lot of investment. But you know, your family has to like you enough that when you move back to the Midwest, that they'll help you out with your stuff. So that's good to know, right?
Oh yeah, say a prayer for my in-laws. They're definitely taking one for the team because they've gone from empty nesters to having nine new bodies residing in their house. So it'll be an exciting Thanksgiving for them.
But you know, that's nine people who can clean. So I'm sure the house is cleaner than it's been in a long time. I'm joking.
That's why we all have children, right? The housekeeping and lawn care.
That's right. Yeah, because they're really good at it. And you never have to redo the dishwasher. They just get it the first time from birth. I don't know if you've experienced that, Bud.
My two-year-old is amazing at manning the lawnmower, the riding lawnmower. It doesn't scare the neighbors at all. No, I would never do that.
Well, speaking of Mercy College of Health Sciences, we want to thank them for underwriting our show, mchs.edu. We are coming up, of course, on the end of one of the more interesting semesters in which we've had the opportunity to serve our students and prepare them to be frontline workers in a very critical and crucial time in the history of healthcare in the United States, making real and incarnational the healing ministry of Jesus Christ and his church. Always a wonderful honor to be a part of that. And like we said, you can go to mchs.edu to check out all the things that we are up to at Mercy College of Health Sciences.
Yeah, but one of the coolest things about being back in Des Moines and being a part of Mercy College full-time again has been some of the conversations that you and I have been having about, there's this Catholic college right in the heart of Des Moines. And I've been excited seeing what Bishop Jewinson is up to and just all the amazing things that are happening in the diocese. So I'm looking forward to 2021 for a couple of reasons.
That's right. There's, of course, things like maybe a cessation to one of the weirdest years on planet Earth for most of us. But certainly, like you said, the opening new doors at Mercy College, mchs.edu. Now, but of course, obviously what everybody has in mind, not quite thinking of 2021 yet. We got a few more things to go. And no, yeah. I'm not talking about that weird obelisk monolith thing that appeared in Utah. I'm just talking about Thanksgiving, which, of course, tomorrow, Thanksgiving for so many people. We hope everybody has a blessed Thanksgiving, that you get to eat your turkeys, that you get to celebrate safely. But I think everybody in Catholic world who notices the fact that the word Thanksgiving actually shows up quite a bit in Catholic discourse in a way we might not realize it. The word Eucharist can be translated as Thanksgiving. The word gratia in Latin, which we get the word grace, also means Thanksgiving or gratitude. It's obvious in many ways that the idea of being thankful should permeate Catholic culture and what we're up to. But as always, we try to point out the sort of way in which grace and gratitude, the sort of heart of gratia, of thanksgiving, should show up in the public order. And what does it mean for not just individuals to be thankful, although you should do that, but for the public order itself to show that gratitude for where it came from. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, I feel like this is always kind of an interesting holiday for Christians because it doesn't flow necessarily out of our own tradition, meaning, you know, it's not an official part of the church calendar or anything. And yet, like you said, gratitude and thanksgiving are at the heart of our faith. I think you see that really well in sacred scripture. But like you're talking about, Bo, like our central act of worship, the Eucharist, at its core is about thanksgiving. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the conversation today, thinking as Catholics about how we celebrate Thanksgiving well. I think it's an important conversation.
So that's what we're going to be able to talk about today. And like we said, hopefully some of you are already off work and that you're getting to listen to the show because you're getting to maybe just wake up now, take it easy already. For you who are at work, we'll try to help you get through the day so that you can get those preparations ready, having the big debates, for instance, whether the cranberries should be the gelatinous stuff out of a can, the actual berries, or like my heretical family, I don't think we ever ate cranberries. I don't know, Bud, where does cranberries play in Nebraska in the Mars?
You know what's funny to me is I've changed over time. So as a kid, I was very averse to cranberries, but I've really, they've grown on me, not literally. for me, turning point, Bo, was to these days, I put cranberries on top of my mashed potatoes. Like I'll do a mashed potato base with a cranberry and gravy overlay. And that, I don't know, there's something about that. It works well.
Yeah, I if I'm going to go ahead and do, I'm a very bad representative in some ways of supposedly being a part of my family, being Irish, because I'm not the biggest potato guy. But for me, it's potatoes, corn, and then gravy, but mostly meat. We have wonderful insights like this and more on the Uncommon Good, and we'll be back right after this. If you want to tell us how you eat your cranberries or your mashed potatoes or any amalgam of anything you're planning to eat for this Thanksgiving, easy to do so. Just use the Zipwhip line. 515-223-1150. 515-223-1150. The Zipwhip line. Hashtag UCG for the Uncommon Good. We'd love to hear from you. Thoughts, questions that you have. Anything you would like to add, but like we said, here in Thanksgiving, maybe even things you're thankful for, but let's not kid anybody. We'd also just love to hear food ideas if that's what you feel inclined to send. The Zipwhip line. 515-223-1150. 515-223-1150. Your connection to Iowa Catholic Radio. This is the Uncommon Good, and we'll be back right after this.
It can be easy to look at how someone is dressing or acting and judge them. But have you ever thought about how much grace is available in these situations? The next time someone makes a questionable decision, instead of judging and condemning, uphold their dignity for them. We do greater good by lifting them up in prayer and respecting their personhood than if we mentally tear them apart in our thoughts. We can uphold the dignity of others even when they are unable to recognize their own value.
Thank you, Dental Associates, for supporting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. Dental Associates, addressing your smile, needs, and dreams. 515-225-6742. Online at DesMoines-DentalAssociates.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Be Not Afraid is provided by Dream Dirt Farm Real Estate and Auction. Learn more at DreamDirt.com, including their online auction house farm bid at bid.dreamdirt.com. Dream Dirt Farm and Equipment Auction Services, farm auctions done right. Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Storm Alert Weather is provided by Divine Treasures. Divine Treasures is a Catholic book and gift store serving the Des Moines community for over 25 years. Their mission is to help Catholics know, love, and keep their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and His Church. Divine Treasures is where you can find great Catholic books, beautiful Bibles, rosaries, jewelry, statues, and religious gifts for those memorable events in your life. Divine Treasures, 5701 Hickman Road, Des Moines, 515-255-5230. Thank you to Divine Treasures for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Carrell Contractor serves Des Moines and Central Iowa for all earth moving and excavating needs. Family owned since 1959, Carrell Contractor will complete a project you can be proud of, on budget and on time. Carrell Contractor, 515-221-9669 or CarrellContractor.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Faith on Trial provided by Paul Martin and Paul Mitchell, owners of Imogene Ingredients. Imogene Ingredients supply specialized feed ingredients for livestock and pet diets to improve maternal and young animal health in both conventional and organic production.
Back with the Uncommon Good, Bo Bonner and Dr. Budmar joining you this Wednesday. Wednesday right before Thanksgiving. We want to say thank you for joining us on the show, because Thanksgiving is all about saying thanks, hearty, har, 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 har. Well, to be honest, of course, we can't get by talking at this time of year without talking about giving thanks. And as we said at the top of the show, it makes sense to do so. The Eucharist, right? The word that we associate with Holy Communion, the sacrifice of the Mass, everything to do with that, of course, in one way is translated as giving thanks, thanksgiving. Sort of a twofold reason for that, that in the institution narrative, Christ began to give thanks, right? That's the prayer that he did. Gave thanks, broke the bread, right? That's where we get the idea of Eucharist. But also that the sacrifice itself is the ultimate way to give thanks to God for all that he has done, because it is the body and blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. What better way and what only way can we truly give thanks for all that he's done? But then also, of course, the Latin word gratia that is so important in our faith, usually translated as grace, but also another way to say thanksgiving, grace in a way, is wrapped up with the idea of giving thanks, that God in some ways by extending grace gives thanks to himself and his majesty, but that every occasion of grace is an occasion for us to say thank you to God. So Bud, when it comes to this time of year, situated as it is at the end of the liturgical year, of course, the people who made Thanksgiving didn't mean to do this, but we've closed out with Christ the King, All Souls, All Saints. We really are sort of wrapping up the year and then getting ready for the greatest gift of all, preparing for Advent, for the coming of our Lord. It seems to make sense that, whether they intended it or not, that this time in November is usually a perfect time in the liturgical year to dwell on the idea of giving thanks.
Yeah, that's right. For me, Bo, Advent is very much a penitential season. It maybe doesn't have the intensity of Lent when it comes to that, but certainly the days are darker and we enter into kind of a quiet, reflective space where we're trying to replicate or walk through what the people of God did in waiting for the Messiah and to kind of experience that again for the first time. And so for me, it is appropriate that normally, like right before that starts, we have a day set aside that's more festive, that's oriented to Thanksgiving. Kind of, I guess, as a preparation for a season that's more penitential and reflective. Now, I've never been able to confirm this. It's actually, if you get into like Catholic blogs, it can sometimes be a source of debate. But I think there was a pope, maybe like 20th century, might have been Pius the 12th, who gave Catholics in the United States a dispensation from the Friday abstinence with meat the day after Thanksgiving. So I don't know. In my household, we've made it canonical. So the day after Thanksgiving, you can take that leftover turkey and make turkey sandwiches and not have to refrain from meat on that day.
Yeah, no, I thought it was Pius the 12th, but or if not, it might be more local ordinaries. But yes, I think the idea was to make sure that everybody enjoy the feast and not waste the food and that sort of stuff like that. I think that, like you were saying, with this time of year, we think about, you know, the importance of family. We think about, I mean, it's interesting how harvest festivals and the sort of going from harvest into getting prepared for winter, that seems to be just in world culture a perfect time to start to have something like festivities. There's not much you can start to do in most parts of the world agriculturally, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, when it comes to planting and harvesting. So you may as well have a party. You may as well be thankful, like Oklahomans are, that Dallas Cowboys will inevitably lose on Thanksgiving Day when they play. There's all sorts of things to be thankful for, Bud, is what I'm saying. And we want to talk about, of course, that it's the nature of man to be thankful, and that there's something about being thankful that constitutes humans in their humanity. But that, of course, on one hand, we usually do, as Americans, a pretty good job of talking about why you yourself should be thankful. And even when people are sort of skittish about prayer or religion in general, they're pretty good about saying, well, the least you can do is be grateful. I remember, this is a very far afield thing, but stick with me, folks. Cormac McCarthy, who writes books that no one would ever mistake as sentimental or even particularly Christian, they're pretty brutal, actually. He was on Oprah, Bud, because that Oprah can make this stuff happen.
Yeah.
And Oprah was talking about his book, The Road, which, again, brutal book. I think it's a good book, very brutal, though. And so Oprah was asking him questions, thinking that, I don't know, that they were going to get into the apocalyptic mode. And she did something to the effect of, like, asked what he thought was advice he'd give to everyone. And he said he would say you should pray. Even if you don't know if there's a God, you can at least be grateful. So I think there's a way in which there's an undercurrent that no matter what else we've done in the United States, we're still Christ-haunted enough to believe that we should individually, in the end, be grateful. We should be thankful for things. And even when we like get around the table as a group, we go around, we're almost always saying, well, I'm grateful. I am grateful for blank, 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 blank. The idea of giving thanks in a public manner, that I think begins to escape us, Bud. And even when we try to talk about it, you know, we kind of defer it into maybe talk about patriotism, or maybe talk about, we want there to be a sort of public holidays so that there's this idea that we can be thankful together. But I think we begin to lose our grip on that, Bud, precisely because it's hard for us to think how to do even something like religion publicly.
Yeah, this gets back to the question of sacrifice. And if you use that term today in the public realm and you say, like, which cultures were characterized by sacrifice, I think a lot of people would point to ancient, or they might say primitive cultures. Like, this is something as a human civilization that we've progressed beyond. But if you dig into sacred scripture, I think what you see, Bo, is that sacrifice is a universal human experience, really, and it's at the heart of true worship. So you may not pick up on this the first time you read the first few chapters of Genesis, but it's clear with the verbiage and the language there in Genesis that Adam, especially, but Adam and Eve they specifically have a priestly ministry. When God commands our first parents to tend the garden, the language that's used there is the same kind of language that's commanded to the priest in the temple. And you and I had a professor in grad school who said without worship, human existence would be just one thing after another. And so, like you're saying, we have this impulse to offer sacrifice, which is an expression of gratitude, because we take the gifts that have been given to us, and they are properly gifts. Like, we can't conjure a bountiful harvest out of midair. It's a gift of the earth, even though we cooperate in bringing that to fruition. And so, Bo, for me, this conversation gets back in a lot of ways to what it means to sacrifice well. Because if you see cultures that were surrounding Israel at that time, many of them offered very poor sacrifices. What I mean is things that were explicitly evil, like sacrificing sometimes their own children to try to produce the outcomes that they wanted. And what God did in history was not to say, oh, no, you guys all got that sacrifice thing wrong, is that it was purified over time. And with ancient Israel, you see the first steps to, of course, the perfect sacrifice, which is Christ on Calvary. And I guess I'll pause there, Bo, because I'm guessing you have some thoughts on this as well. Like, I could go on for another 20, 30, 40 minutes about this. But to me, when we think about Thanksgiving or gratitude, if we're going to do this as Catholics, well, we have to bring into the conversation the topic of sacrifice. And we can't just say, like, well, that's something for priests to do. Like, I'm good because my priest takes care of that. because all of us as members of the body of Christ are prophet, priests, and kings. And so we're called to manifest this in our own lives in a specific way.
No, I think that this is absolutely the case. And I think we will lead, we'll get to the idea of the perfection of the Eucharist as the sacrifice. I think it's important to point out the natural antecedents, like you said, woven deeply into all human culture itself, and precisely because of the garden. It's interesting, right, how much terms of sacrifice and thanksgiving in world religion and culture itself, like we said, revolve around harvest and food. And it's like you said, and who am I plagiarizing here, bud? This is I think Father Schmemann, who's an Orthodox priest, he made the point that there's a way in which just by simply eating food, all human beings are priestly. And what he meant by this, right, is like you said, no one conjures the gifts of the garden straight out of the ground themselves. It's true, we cooperate in it, but the seeds predated us, water predated us, carbon predated us, right? We are held as contingent beings alive with the possibility, because either the animals came before us, even though we hunted them, or that there was the food that we grew out of the ground. The biggest deal, right, and this is the sort of inescapable aspect, if you're alive as a living creature, you're alive because something else died. In order to eat is to sacrifice a living thing for the sake of you to live. And we don't mean this just with animals, of course. In order to eat plants, something had to have died in order that you live. So on one hand, right, there is always something in the act of eating that is sacrificed so that you live. It makes sense that deeply woven in human nature is to give thanks at the moment that you eat, because there is something now dead that you use to live. Now, when you add on top of that, that we who have spiritual natures, when these animals and plants do not, there's a way in which we elevate the created world, right? These creatures, be they plants or animals, that have now died, have ceased from their bodily material existence, now aid human beings in doing the high acts of thinking, of rationality. But of course, the greatest is to offer rational human praise to God, something that the animals and the vegetative life could never do. And so in sacrificing these things that once were alive, that died so that we can now live, we sort of have an obligation, before we even get to God, bud, we have an obligation to the things we eat to live a life that they never could. That we use literally the molecular power that powers our bodies and brains, that we receive from them in order to power ourselves to do a spiritual act that they could never do. And so when we give thanks at the bountiful harvest and we eat an apple or bread, we elevate the once living thing who lived only in a material life to the spiritual world. If once we eat that, I mean, even just praying right beforehand, bud, right? You think about how we encapsulate the material world into the spiritual world. And in that way, all human life is priestly, atheist, theist, Christian or not, by the sheer fact of being that bridge, that pontifex, that the way across the divide between the material and spiritual world. And so it makes perfect sense then, bud, that we do the next thing and that we see things like harvest, things like gathering the family together to feast, that feasting has everything to do with sacrifices of praise and gratitude to the gods, when it comes to Christians, to the true God. And that even when we get together anytime we eat, the moment that we say grace and recognize our gratitude that we have the ability to have this food, the gratitude that we have this ability to sustain our lives, but the opportunity to bridge the material world into the spiritual world, that's already, like you said, but our priestly, with a lowercase p, the priestly act of giving thanksgiving through sacrifice. Everything else builds from that. And I hope that in hearing that, people will see not only the Thanksgiving meal, which sort of preeminently shows this, that we're very mindful of when this shows up. But that means that all communal eating is in a way public sacrifices, public worship, bud. And it makes sense why we have the attendant rituals around any feasting that we do together.
Yeah, with what you're saying, though, what comes to mind for me is my experience of the first time I took Old Testament survey in college. And I hope this isn't too much for 10 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, but I had this professor who he loved the Bible, and you know, he had a great love for God, but he really wanted us to dig into the details of Scripture. And in that class, we were walking, you know, slowly and carefully through Leviticus and through Deuteronomy. And I remember a student saying, like, this is kind of intense, you know, just how many sacrifices there were and what was involved with preparing the animals and how the animals were to be consumed, et cetera. And you kind of got this vibe from the student, I mean, well-meaning, well-intended student, that, like, isn't this a bit much? Like, does God really reveal himself through this system? And the reply by my professor really caught me by surprise. He said, you know, it's kind of funny that we were having that response to the passage, because in his view, if you took an ancient Israelite and walked them through the meat section of a modern day grocery store, they would be really disturbed, because there's all this, like, you know, meat readily available and people just purchase it on the moment, having no idea, like, where the animal was raised, how it was killed. You know, they just bring it right home and eat it or whatnot. And for it, like, in his view, the mind of an ancient Israelite would be kind of disturbed by this idea where the purchasing and consumption of meat was separated from what we're talking about, Bo, from sacrifice and from gratitude. Now, I don't share that this morning to try to guilt our listeners for visiting Hy-Vee yesterday. Like, obviously, not all of us have the capacity to raise our own animals in the backyard and to go through some elaborate process to bring it to our tables. But I think, Bo, it does remind us of very much what you're saying, of the gift of life, of what it takes for us to survive, and the kind of, like, responsibility that calls us to. And like I said earlier, this is threaded throughout the Old Testament. So when I got to the point where I started teaching Old Testament survey, I would do the Exodus narrative with my students. And, you know, of course, that's the famous story of God using Moses to draw his people out of slavery in Egypt. And there's this famous passage in Exodus 19. It's actually the source of the modern hymns that we sing. But Exodus 19:4, where the Lord is speaking to Moses, and he says, "Tell the people, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to..." And when I taught the course, I would leave that blank, "brought you to blank." And I would ask the students to guess what the verse said. And of course, many of them would guess, like, the promised land, or "I brought you to freedom, I brought you to prosperity." But what God says there in that passage, Exodus 19:4, is, "I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." And so you see in the book of Exodus that this great act that God does on behalf of his people is not simply about political liberation. If we reduce that to freedom qua freedom, like freedom maybe in a modern liberal understanding of the term, God draws them out of Egypt to bring the people to himself. And the first act that they perform once they are out from under the thumb of Pharaoh is they offer sacrifice. And Moses actually demands this. Pharaoh says, "You can go away for a time, blah, 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 just bring the people back." And Moses says, "No, we need to take our cattle, etc., with us, because we are going out into the wilderness to offer sacrifice." So even before they claim the promised land or they have the full expression of their freedom or their prosperity, at the foundation of it all is right worship. And I think that's, as Catholics, as we participate in Thanksgiving, that has to be our orientation as well.
Yes, the sort of freedom that is allowed when humanity can be what they were always intended to be in the garden, to tend to creation, to be this bridge between the material to the spiritual world. And like you said, to use our freedoms, and that's one of the things, you know, the freedom of leisure, that we do live in a society, luckily enough, that believes in things like giving people time off work. We do a lot to go against that. We're workaholics, all these things. But it's important to say, you know, for whatever reason, now we're going to take time to feast and give thanksgiving and approach the Lord. I think that sets us up well to talk about the Eucharist itself in the next segment. So we'll leave that there. This is the Uncommon Good. Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher talking about gratia, like grace and thanksgiving, grace and gratitude. And we'll be back right after this. Folks, if you want to keep up with Iowa Catholic Radio, it's easy to do. All you have to do is be part of our social media outreach. First way to do so is to go to the OG website, iowacatholicradio.com, where if you have a connection, you can listen live, you can donate, you can sign up for emails to keep track of what's going on. You can even look at people's pictures if you want. There's all sorts of things you can do there. You can also go to Facebook, look up Iowa Catholic Radio and befriend us, and then you will get our posts and see what we're up to on Facebook. You can go to Twitter, at IA Catholic Radio. Follow us there, get our tweets, stay informed. And then finally, you can download the Iowa Catholic Radio app, and anywhere you have a data connection, you can listen live. You can listen to recordings that we have, for instance, bilingual rosaries that you can pray at any time. You can donate there as well. Stay in touch and keep informed. This is the Uncommon Good, and we'll be back right after this.
Has anyone ever told you to pray about it and left you thinking, okay, but how? First, invite the Holy Spirit to be with you as you talk to God. Think about what is going on in your heart and mind. Be honest. Acknowledge to God what you're thinking, feeling, and desiring, because He wants you, the real you. Then, tell Him about what you're experiencing and entrust that to Him. Finally, let the Father love us. Ask yourself, how is God loving me right now? He is loving always. Sometimes we need to stop and think of our blessings, because that is where we can find God.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Storm Alert Weather is provided by Divine Treasures. Divine Treasures is a Catholic book and gift store serving the Des Moines community for over 25 years. Their mission is to help Catholics know, love, and keep their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and His Church. Divine Treasures is where you can find great Catholic books, beautiful Bibles, rosaries, jewelry, statues, and religious gifts for those memorable events in your life. Divine Treasures, 5701 Hickman Road, Des Moines, 515-255-5230. Thank you to Divine Treasures for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio's broadcast of Dowling Catholic Sports and Activities is provided by Kemin, a global ingredient manufacturer using science to transform the quality of life for 80% of the world. Kemin is on the leading edge of molecular science, manufacturing more than 500 specialty ingredients for the human and animal health and nutrition, pet food, aquaculture, nutraceutical, food technologies, crop technologies, and textile industries. Kemin strives to sustainably transform the quality of life every day for 80% of the world with their products and services. Kemin, using science to transform the world. Online at Kemin.com.
Here's your forecast on Iowa Catholic Radio. We may get a few lingering showers and some clouds for the afternoon, but low pressure is moving out of the Central Plains. We'll be in the low 40s for today's high. Partly cloudy overnight and cold, down to about 30. Thanksgiving Day looks nice. Going up to 50, we'll have sunshine. Could be a little bit breezy. The weather is brought to you by Divine Treasures, a Catholic book and gift store serving the Des Moines community for over 25 years. I'm meteorologist Steve Hamilton on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Back with the Uncommon Good, Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher, joining you this Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and we thank you for being a part of the show. So, Bud, we've been talking about words in the Catholic tradition that remind us of Thanksgiving, as it were. Gratia is the sort of Latin word that roots so much of our faith. It's the word that we use for grace, but that also has the idea of gratitude and thanksgiving wound in it. And then we have the idea of the Eucharist itself, Christ giving thanks, broke bread, right? The action itself, but then also the Eucharist as the sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise. And maybe that's a good way to jump off on this. In older catechisms, I think it's in the new catechism as well. I'm not going to deny this, but in the older catechism, they made a big point, right, that there are four ends, telos, goals of every Mass. And so this is what comes to mind immediately, because one of them is thanksgiving. So adoration, thanksgiving, atonement, and petition. And of course, the idea meaning that there's four ends is there is a distinction to be made, but they're of course not distinct as to be opposed. So when we give thanksgiving, it's precisely because God is worthy of being adored. We give thanksgiving because we're able to have atonement. We're able to be brought back to God through the sacrifice of the Mass. We also give thanksgiving because of petitions answered, or just the sheer idea that we can ask God to answer our petitions. But finally, in and of itself, we should give God thanks just because he's worthy of giving thanks. Now, Bud, when we jump off on this idea that thanksgiving is like one of the central aspects of what's going on in the Mass through the Eucharist, I think of a friend I have who is I'm thankful for him and grateful for him because he is a worthy antagonist that always pushes back when Catholics have descriptions of themselves. And so he pushes back this idea that religion is sort of like a Stockholm syndrome, Bud. Like, we tell ourselves that we have to be enthralled to God, that he says that he gives us everything so that we immediately find ourselves in debt to him. And through this debt is this idea of where control and things come like this, right? That's the sort of salvo that people would throw against what we're saying here, is that this is one big myth made to make people subservient. But I think we throw back this idea that on one hand, it would seem insane, sorry, to act like people being thankful for what they have is somehow bad or a neurosis. But the second one is to say it really does make us have to be ask how serious we are if we're going to say that things are grace all the way down. Is it true? Are we willing to say that because we are contingent beings, we have to, not out of a sense of like justice in terms of making the books add up, not a sort of servile justice, but is there something about our being itself that is created to be thankful and finds itself in its most complete form due to giving thanks?
You're posing this question to me?
Yeah, just answer it real quick.
No, there is. And, you know, there have been thinkers and cultures who I think have tried to move away from this, and it always ends up wrong. I mean, one ironic piece of human history is that some of the worst atrocities have been committed in the name of creating a utopia, like a perfect existence here on Earth. And the reason I bring that up, Bo, is that if you're just thrust into life without revelation, without God, you know, revealing himself and the truth of the world to you, there is an impulse to find happiness and meaning in human relationships. And like we try to talk about on the show, like when you see these desires or impulses in different cultures or outside the church, I don't think our calling is to denigrate those. But what I have in mind, Bo, is that at purely a horizontal level where you say like, well, I can just find my happiness here on earth. You know, I mean, it's a misunderstood passage in Karl Marx, but he calls religion at one point the opium of the people. It's like, it's this idea that, you know, priests and bishops, spiritual leaders, they present a future heavenly realm that people can strive for. And that's sort of a tool of control to keep them, you know, not focused on or willing to change their kind of like deplorable existence in the present. But without that transcendent coming into play, I think we do. I mean, human beings are starved for the transcendent. And if we try to suppress that or attack it, it flows out into other areas of life. And so I think, you know, you can see this in the rates of addiction that you see in our culture now. You can see it in the way that other elements of culture are turned into quasi-religions, whether that's politics or sports teams. You know me, Bo, I've admitted on the show several times, like, I'm a massive Husker fan and I'm passionate about this, but it is something to see the way that, you know, people in this state where I am now will sometimes like organize almost their entire life around what takes place on Saturday afternoon, to the point of even having like a Husker logo on their casket. And so I guess what I'm getting at, Bo, is like, I think this is a desire that's deep in our hearts, and it can only be pushed down to our own detriment. And so Thanksgiving is one way maybe that, you know, governmental officials in the United States have tried to create space for Thanksgiving and for gratitude without it being like confessionally religious. But what we want to say to people, and part of the process of evangelism, is like, you know, that joyous day once a year where you gather with your family and, you know, like there's all these meaningful memories or whatever, that's meant to be a part, like a rhythm of all of human life, and that it's experienced most perfectly in the sacrifice of the Mass, where we encounter, like where we experience true communion with others, and where we're drawn up into the eternal communion to which we're all called.
Yeah, but you know, I think about this in terms of, no, you put that so well, and especially the deep yearning, you can get rid of religion, but wanting something to give thanks for, that really says a lot about why people can be obsessed with things like sports, like you pointed out, or maybe why we invest in an almost idolatrous way our happiness in other people. That sets up all sorts of disappointments in life, right? That we want to be thankful so much for something that if we don't have a supreme object worthy of thanks like God, we're going to load that onto a spouse, a child, a friend, and they're not going to be able to bear the weight. I know this sounds silly, but in a way, it's almost gracious to admit that you shouldn't be that thankful for any one human being, because they can't bear the weight of this eternal longing to give thanks to the supremely thankful object of praise, which is God. I think of the fact that we're on the lookout, even in a sort of consumerist way, in an addictive way. We want to be, people get obsessed with the pleasure of consumption, but I think you're right. Like, people want to be thankful for the thing giving the pleasure. This is why people will have like brand loyalty, right? It's a different world in 2020, but I remember growing up in the 80s and people would decide that they would have fights because they were Pepsi or Coke people or Chevy or Ford people, right? The idea of belonging is wrapped up, and we want a group to say, I give thanks for being part of this group. And we'll go find groups that aren't worth it just to try to feel that this truly is something worthy of my thanks and praise. And I go back to something I talked about this morning on John Leonetti's show. He's talking about mystery when it comes to the faith life. And too often when we hear that word, and of course, but this is another one that's like a word related to the Eucharist, so I think it makes sense to talk about it here. People get this idea that mystery is like Sherlock Holmes, or it's like a truth that we don't know yet because of insufficient information. But mystery in many ways is just to say something that's not irrational, but by necessity must be beyond our capacity to completely hold it in our hands. So I was just pointing out, our birth is mysterious to us because none of us have memories about our birth. We take it for granted that people say, this is your mom, this is your dad. Anyone who's adopted realizes this sort of precariousness, and I think in many ways has a much better appreciation of the mysterious way in which family is constituted. But we, who our whole lives have been, this is my mom, this is my dad, they gave birth to me, you know, we take that on their word. Even if you see photos of this, bud, or a video of this, you know, you are an observer to the fact of something that supposedly happened. And we have to be thankful to the mysterious trust, and that, like, every startling, you know, primordial text, like the Oedipus Rex, right, is about the unshaking, the way that to shake this foundation is to shake all other foundations. And so even if in our human life we have gratitude to the mystery of our parents, not out of some sort of servile bookkeeping or Stockholm syndrome, but a genuine thanksgiving, right? That to say thank you to mom and dad for being my mom and dad is not to say that there are these people that infinitely have the ability to do whatever they want to me, but that truly my life is better when I realize that giving them thanks for the mystery of my existence makes my life better, that to me starts to be the foundation of when we look to God and say, my existence, not just my birth, bud, my existence, and not only the beginning of my existence, but the sustainment of my existence. It's not that we owe God thanks in a silly bookkeeper way. We owe God thanks in an existential way that makes us truly happy when we give thanks for that fact. And just like, you know, when we, you know, you're a parent, you start to really understand what your parents went through. And, you know, parents don't ask for much because a kid could truly never repay their parents for what they did. But you're like, maybe just listen right now and just eat the cereal I ask you and not the other one that I haven't opened yet. You know, isn't that enough? You know, we get kind of snippy like that. And you start to think that God doesn't have to be some sort of, you know, horrible tenant, you know, allowing you to live on his land. It can just be fatherly like that to say, don't you know, child, that I have this best interest for you? I'm not asking you to do this because, like, if I don't have Thanksgiving, I'm an angry God. Don't you realize that the worship and praise of me is for your benefit because I don't need it? That I've set up this world for you, and that to do this, to be thankful for that mystery, redounds to your benefit, not mine. And I'm hoping, bud, that like I said, every time we sit down to eat together, that we realize this mystery. When we have the occasion to have big feasts like Thanksgiving, I hope this reality becomes more real. But certainly, and especially this year in 2020, when it's been so difficult for many of us to be able to approach the sacrifice of praise, this is what the Eucharist teaches us. Not a servile debt that we owe God, but a grateful and loving opportunity to more fully understand who we are by giving thanksgiving through the Eucharist.
Well, and what you were saying there really brings into sharp relief how great of a gift the Eucharist is, because a lot of these systems of sacrifice in other cultures, they were really sometimes mechanistic or formulaic. And what I mean is, like, you offer this sacrifice to produce a certain outcome. But with what you're saying, Bo, it's the reason why we say the merits of the sacrifice of Calvary, which is represented in the Mass, they're infinite. It's not a gift that we could ever produce, but it's a perfect offering because it's the Son offering himself up to the Father in this act of pure love. And for us to be able to participate in that, it's really mind-boggling. And I'm grateful for our listeners this morning to allow us to talk about sacrifice for 40 or 50 minutes, because like we've been saying, it's, you know, you probably don't turn on a lot of radio stations and expect to hear that on a Wednesday morning. But as someone who came out of another Christian tradition, I am regularly just blown away by the Mass, because when I was growing up, Bo, really, like, in Sunday school, when we talked, like, we would learn the Old Testament stories, but there was always this nagging question for me, like, why the temple or the tabernacle, and why all these sacrifices commanded, and why didn't God just start at the end? But when you start to read the Gospels or read the New Testament in light of the entire biblical background, I'm almost nervous to broach this topic at 10:48 because there's so much that could be said. I guess what I would say real briefly, Bo, is I think to the book of Hebrews where it says, you know, like the author is going through those Old Testament sacrifices and he's saying, weren't those sufficient? Well, no, they weren't. And how do we know that? Because they had to be offered day after day. And so clearly, you know, they could wash away sins, but there was something insufficient because they had to be repeated daily. And then the author says, but with Jesus, what was different is that we've been sanctified through the offering of his body once and for all. And I think, Bo, sometimes when we read that verse, we're tempted in our minds to say once and for all, like it's done away with. After Jesus, there's no need for sacrifice. But as a New Testament scholar once pointed out for me, like that phrase could also be translated, I should say, once and for all time, like once and forever. And so Jesus, priestly ministry didn't stop at 33 AD. Like, we know he's a priest in heaven interceding on our behalf. And when we enter in, I mean, again, we're coming up against the break, but you know, there are so many parts of the Mass and of the institution of the Lord's Supper in the New Testament that in retrospect, I'm just like, how did I miss that? You know, Jesus says, "This is my body broken for you. This is the covenant in my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." That's all priestly language. And that's why we call it a Eucharist, because what we're most thankful for is that through Christ's death, which apart from the Eucharist would have been just a meaningless execution, we're drawn into, like, we're reconciled with God and with man. That's the only way we can truly know the forgiveness that God offers. And that's why we say the Eucharist is that from which our faith flows and that to which it returns. We come to know God through this holy meal, and everything else that we do, I think even like the sacrament of confession, it's oriented back towards this Eucharist, this holy sacrifice.
No, but all this is so great. Like you said, we're doing our classic, there's 2 minutes left. And so now we're thinking of huge things we could talk about and point people to. So I'll point to a website that's one of our Uncommon Good All-Stars, our buddy Matthew Umbarger. He has a website now. It's called Smoking a Ziggurat, not a cigarette, a ziggurat. So Smoking a Ziggurat, like the ancient building. He's a funny guy. I think if you put in Matthew Umbarger, you'll find it. But he wrote one of his latest entries on Genesis 1, where he contrasts it with the Babylonian myth of Enuma Elish. And I leave you guys with this. In that story, in the Babylonian understanding of the creation of the world, Marduk creates the sacrificial system and everything to do with the world, because he realizes that he can get free stuff by forcing humans to be slaves that must praise him. That's their idea of the world. And so they're honest, right? Like, we give sacrifice to the gods, the Babylonians say, to try to get good treatment from our masters who can do whatever they want to us. But it's certainly the case that that language trickles in when we talk in a Catholic sort of way sometimes. But that's absolutely the opposite of what we're trying to get at, which is to say that if God created a free people and created freely, and that he doesn't need anything, that's the importance of created out of nothing, that if he needs nothing, that this good and free creation, this goodness is overflowing. And that even when we went out of the way in sin to deny this gift of goodness, God didn't sort of say, well, you know what, these are the rules and I'm tired of it. I'm justifying the books. He cooked the books with his own son and said, not only will this sacrifice be an atonement to bring you back, but that you yourselves will be able to offer a thanksgiving that again redounds to you and not simply me. And that's where we're at, folks. And I hope that you're able to enjoy this Thanksgiving season and give thanks through and that you have the capacity to do this in the public manner, not only through communal meals, but of course the communal sacrifice of the Mass, the highest form of public thanksgiving. This is the Uncommon Good. May Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, reign in our hearts, our families, especially on Thanksgiving, our city, our state, our nation, the world, solar system, galaxy, the whole kit and caboodle. This is the Uncommon Good, and we'll be back next week. But if folks want to be a part of our prayer life here on Iowa Catholic Radio, let them know how they're able to do that.
Yeah, please join us for prayer daily. We pray the rosary on air at 5:30 a.m., 9:30 a.m., and 9:30 p.m. We also pray the Angelus together at 6 in the morning. But all of those prayer opportunities are available anytime on the Iowa Catholic Radio app, and like you said, Bo, and bilingual, so offered in both English and Spanish.
Folks, we want to make sure to let you know that this ministry extends far more than just the people that happen to be on air, the folks behind the boards and the people in the offices. We're going to say thank you to all those people who do that. But this ministry is very much part of your, you are very much a part of this ministry. And we want to say, it's Thanksgiving week, thank you very much for all that you do. We have sincere gratitude for your capacity to give, give in prayer, like Bud has been saying, not only praying with us on air, but also the prayer specifically said for us, the sacrifices that you make, all of that offered up to the throne of God on our behalf so that we can keep this ministry up. We thank you for all the volunteer hours, all the people who volunteer here at Iowa Catholic Radio. But we also want to extend the gratitude that you provide our sustenance, our ability to exist through your donations. And so if you find it in your heart this week to be thankful for Iowa Catholic Radio and all that it does, please keep us in mind and perhaps send us a donation. You can do this through iowacatholicradio.com, the Iowa Catholic Radio app. You can call or text 515-223-1150 to talk about setting up a donation. But we want to again say thank you, thank you, thank you for allowing this ministry to exist and being a part of it. It's an honor to be a part of it. And we can't say enough the amount of gratitude that you feel this ministry with the grace of Jesus Christ. Well, Bud, it's great talking to you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. You guys stay safe out there. And I hope you figure out the right way to eat cranberries and mashed potatoes or whatever it is that you were talking about.
Yeah, real quick, like half of my kids, you know, they keep their food separated into distinct little piles, but another half, you know, are fine with it, mixing it all together. My thought is it's all going to the same place.
And with that,
so on that note, a blessed Thanksgiving to everyone.
That's right. This is the Uncommon Good. We'll talk to y'all next week.
The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher is heard every week on wonderful Catholic stations like this one and anytime on podcast. Just search for The Uncommon Good.